I told them not to do that, all right? I said, hey, I know I look like Matthew West, but don't tell people that I look like Matthew West. In fact, I remember this one time, he came and he led worship here, and then after, y'all remember that? Okay, so I was baptizing people out in the lobby area, and some people just come up, they're like, oh my goodness, you're baptizing people? And I was like, come close. I'm not Matthew West. And so I was like, but if you want me to act like Matthew West, I will baptize you, because it's like Matthew West and Jesus, I guess, right? So good joke of the day. One of the hardest things about parenting is trying to convince your kids to stay in bed after you put them to bed. Is that true for anyone else? Like, it is almost impossible. I remember this one time, my wife and I were putting our daughter Ella to bed. We gave her a kiss, we said, hey, I love you. We turned out her light, shut the door, and then we went back to our room. And literally 2 seconds later, that girl got up out of her bed and came into our room and said, I have a question for you. Now, I have the spiritual gift of sarcasm, and in that moment, I was like, then why couldn't you have asked us that question 2 seconds ago? And she ignored me, just like her mother ignores me sometimes. And so she's like, I got a question. I'm like, okay, what's your question, Ella? And she's, I don't even remember the question. It wasn't even that important. So I answered her question. I said, it's time to go to bed. And we sent her back to bed. And as she was going back to bed, she hit her toe on one of our dressers and began to cry. Don't feel bad for her. Don't feel bad for her. Listen, there's hope, but she is a sinner just like me, okay? Like, I love that girl. But she starts crying, and again, like, I was actually a good dad in that moment. I didn't say what was in my mind, because in my mind, I'm like, if you weren't in your bed, then that wouldn't have happened to you. But I picked her up, and I held her, and she's crying, and so I'm trying to comfort her, and she looks at me with these crocodile tears and just goes, Dad, why do bad things always happen to me? Here's what I know about all of us here at Lenexa and Speedway and those of us joining online. We've all had a moment in our life where something happened to us that caused us to ask why. For example, why did I lose my job? And why is it taking me a really long time to get another job? Why does it seem like God is distant? I thought that God was supposed to be near to me when I'm hurting. Why did they leave me? They told me that they love me. Why did the cancer come back? Why doesn't my dad love me? Why can't I seem to overcome this anxiety? So we've all had those moments where we've either wondered why or we out loud said, why? The problem with asking why is that these why questions create a tension within us. Let me show you what I mean. By now, you're probably wondering, like, why did you have us pick up a rubber band? Well, I'm going to tell you why I asked you to pick up a rubber band. This is actually for you to turn to the person next to you, and when they fall asleep, to pop them and keep them awake this morning. That's why you have the rubber band. Don't do that. I heard that. Oh. Hopefully you did that on yourself. See, you don't tell teenagers they can do something in a service and they'll do it, all right? Like, that's where I was hearing it from, this section, like right in here. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that rubber band. I want you to put your thumbs like this. And I want you to take the rubber band and I want you to put it around both of your thumbs. And then I want you to take this and I just want you to create some tension. See, the tension that we experience in asking why is that we all have questions and we all wonder why. But that's not what creates the tension. The thing that creates the tension is that we really don't ever find out why. And when we don't know why, it creates this tension in us that deserves our attention. You can go ahead and put your rubber band back on your wrist. Because this tension that we experience deserves our attention, because here's what can happen. We can fill this tension with something, and we will fill the tension with something. We will fill it with things like doubt or faith. We'll fill the tension with either worry or worship. We can even fill the tension with despair, or we can fill the tension with hope. And here's my hope for us this morning. My hope for us is that when we experience life's tension, or if we're living in this tension of the why right now, that we would begin to fill the tension with more hope. Because you cannot cope without hope. So here's the question. How do we fill the tension with more hope? Well, if there's one thing I want you to walk away with today, it's this statement right here. We can have more hope in the tension of life when we get into the habit of saying something like this: I don't know why, but here's what I know about God. I don't know why, but here's what I know about God. And what we're going to see in Romans chapter 8 today is that Paul is going to give us three truths that we can cling to whenever we're experiencing the tension of life. And the three truths that we can cling to are this about God. God has a promise. God has provision. And lastly, God has a purpose. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, Paul is reminding us that for those of us who are in Christ, our future is bright. Our future is bright because our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the one who has overcome the world. Now, that does not mean that the pain we go through isn't painful. That doesn't mean that the hardships that we experience aren't hard. It doesn't mean that the storm doesn't affect us. It just simply means for those of us who are in Christ, we have a promise. And the promise that we have is this, is that this life is as bad as it's going to get for us. So when we look at our present sufferings and we compare it to what is to come, it does not even compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. So we can have hope. Paul continues in verse 19, and he says this, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Now, there is a lot there, and I wish that I could unpack each of those verses, but the thing that brings me hope from those verses is simply this, is that it reminds me that I have been adopted by God. In other words, I am his son, and because I am God's son, one day he is going to come back and he's going to get me and he's going to bring me home to live with him for eternity. Either by my death or by his second coming. This is the hope that I have. And the same thing is true for a lot of you because you are God's son, you are God's daughter, and because you're his son and because you're his daughter, you can have hope that one day all of the pain that you've experienced on this earth will be gone. All the sufferings and all the hardships that you've walked with through are actually going to be through because the God who adopted you is going to come and he's going to get you and he's going to bring you home with him where there will be no pain, no suffering. He will wipe away all of your tears. This is the hope that we have that we can cling to because we are his sons and we are his daughters. And Paul uses this word hope in the next few verses even more so. He says, for in this hope we were saved. Past tense. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We have more hope available to us because our future is fully secure in Him. We have more hope because we have a promise, and the promise is simply this, is that for those of us who are in Christ, meaning that we have a relationship with Him, He's our Lord and He's our Savior, that this life is as bad as it's going to get. Now, I realize that there's some of us here that we do not have a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, whether you're online or Speedway or at Lenexa, the thing I want to just say to you is this, is I'm so grateful that you've joined us today. And not only that, but I need to tell you something because I love you. And I want to tell you this, that for you, those of us who are not in Christ, we need to understand that the opposite is true for us today. That this world is as good as it's going to get for you. So when you see all of the brokenness in this world and you see all of the brokenness, maybe even in your own life that you've experienced and you're like, oh, that's bad. Well, hey, listen, that's actually as good as it's going to get for you. And I know that doesn't seem like I'm giving you a lot of hope, so let me give you some hope. Jesus is here. And He bled and He died, and 3 days later He came back to life so that you could have hope. And He is walking amongst us in our rooms, in our living rooms, at all our campuses, at all our locations, and He's literally knocking at the door of some of your hearts right now. And the beautiful thing is this, is that if you would just open the door and let Him in, you will receive a hope that shows up in the darkest moments of life because He will become your hope. So just open the door today, like right now. You don't have to wait to pray this magical prayer at the end. You just open the door and He'll come in and He will give you the hope that I have received, that many of us have received this morning. So I may not know why, but here's what I know about God. God has a promise. And God also has provision. In other words, God has already given us everything we need to get through what we are actually going through. And I know this because Paul goes on and he says this in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When I was in the eighth grade, we got a brand new football coach at our school, and he said, we are going to have a summer workout program. And so we all showed up on the first day, and he said, today we're going to figure out everyone's max weight on things like bench and squat. And so he paired us up into groups of four. And in my group, I had three guys who looked like they had lifted before because they had lifted before. I had never lifted in my life. And so our first rotation was the bench press. And so they're like, hey, do you want to go first? I was like, nah, man, I don't want to show you up. Like, hey, why don't y'all go first? And so they get on the bench, and what ends up happening is they end up putting all this weight on, and they ended up, their max was around 225. It's like, boom, and I don't even know how they did it in eighth grade. Maybe steroids. But they lifted that weight up, and then it became my turn. And they said, how much weight do you want on? And I said, 225. So, like, you probably know what happened. I lifted the weight up, and as soon as I did, boom, it just went straight on my chest. And I tried everything that I could do to lift 225. And then they're like, do you want our help? No, I don't want your help. I'm gonna actually get this weight up. I promise you. And finally, they saw me struggling so much that my spotter reached down and he pulled the weight up that I could not lift. In the same way, Paul's reminding us that God has given us the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit is like a spotter for our souls who reaches down and he lifts us up in our weakness when we cannot carry the weight of the world that we are going through. And the Holy Spirit is what we need because we are not exempt from experiencing pain as followers of Jesus. But we are exempt from experiencing the pains of this world without the presence of God with us. This is what we have in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shows up in those moments when we can't lift the weight up anymore. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have nothing to fear. Why? Because God is with us, because now God lives in us. So we can have hope in all circumstances, whether good or bad, because God has given us the Holy Spirit. And if that wasn't enough, God has given us the Holy Spirit, who is like a spiritual spotter who lifts up prayers on our behalf when we can't pray to God. Like, have you ever had a moment in your life where you're like, man, I find it really difficult to pray to God because of what I'm going through? Or maybe a moment where you're like, man, I'm actually going through it so much that I don't even want to talk to God. If you are a follower of Jesus, the beautiful thing is this, is that those are very beautiful and powerful moments. In fact, I think that the most powerful prayers we pray aren't the prayers where we utter a bunch of words, but the ones where we can't hardly say a thing. Why? Because we're relying and dependent on the Holy Spirit to lift up prayers on our behalf. And what we have here is that Paul reminds us that that is exactly what he does for us. He goes on our behalf to God, and he prays for us, and he keeps us in alignment with the will of God, this beautiful thing happening to us. So we have all that we need in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our strength, but the Holy Spirit really helps us in our weakness. So God has given us everything we need to get through what we're going through. So I may not know why, but here's what I know about God. God has a promise. God has provision. And finally, God has a purpose. And this brings us to the most coffee cup verse of all coffee cup verses. The one when we're actually going through it, we're like, I don't want you to even say that to me because it doesn't really bring me a lot of hope. Romans 8:28 says this, for we know. Now, I want to pause because I love that Paul uses the word we and not I. And the reason why I love that is because there are going to be moments in our life where we're not going to really know that God is working. We're not going to be able to see that God is working. But here's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. It's not all dependent on you. In those moments when we're going through something so hard and so difficult and we can't even know that God is working, we need to rely on other people to help us know. Because when we rely on them, God uses them. And oftentimes I feel like the ones that surround us in the moments that we're walking through that are really hard are the people that have actually walked through the same thing that we have walked through. So I may not know why, but even though I don't know why, you can know why. And you can help me know why. And this is why I love our care groups here at Westside. Our care groups are designed to help surround you with real people and real relationships to help you walk through the difficulties of life. And these men and women have walked through this situation with you are going to be people who have walked through the same situation you have walked through. So if you find yourself in a season, in a moment, I would just encourage you to get into a care group. You can go westsidefamily.church/care-groups, or today you can go out in our lobby and you can sign up for one of our care groups. Because the reality is there's going to come a moment where, man, I don't know why, but someone else can help me know. And we know what? And we know in all things, God works. In all things, God works. Now, I've checked the Greek on the word all, and it actually means all. Not just the good, but the bad as well. So God is at work no matter what situation we are going through. Whether that situation is good, whether the situation is bad, we can know in all things God works. God is working even when we don't feel that he's working. God's working even when we can't even comprehend that he is working. In all things, God is working. And he is working all things for our good. And we know in all things, verse 28, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is working all of the mundane and all of the good experiences and bad experiences and all the in-between experiences, and he's working it for what? Our good and for his glory. So I may not know why you lost your job, and no, I'm not here to tell you that God's the one that caused you to lose your job, but I do know that God, in the midst of all the pain and the trials you're going through, is actually repurposing it for your good. And he's using it to help you to cling more to him, to help you become more like Jesus. And he's teaching you something. And the purpose of why he's teaching you something in this season is so that when you have someone that you know that loses their job, that you can step in and you can help them as they are experiencing the same thing that you experienced. I may not know why you're going through a divorce. I know I'm not telling you that God intended you to go through a divorce. But I do know this, that your life isn't over. That there is a God who created all things that wants to meet you in the middle of your pain. And he wants to repurpose your pain for your good. He wants to take what the enemy meant for evil and he wants to turn it for your good. And not only that, but he wants to get some glory out of the repurposing that he's doing in the midst of it. I may not know why you're going through whatever you're going through, but what I do know is that what you are going through isn't meaningless. It has meaning because God is stepping in and he's repurposing it and he's using it to help us become more like him. So that we can give him glory and we can bring him glory in the way that we live. And I know this because verse 29, Paul says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Now, I think it would be really easy for us to get lost in this like endless debate between predestination and free will. I'm not gonna do that today. And here's the reason why, they're both there. And I really don't wanna do it because when we begin to debate over predestination and free will, what ends up happening is we miss out on the beauty of what Paul is saying and we miss out on the power that he's trying to give us in this moment. Because what Paul is reminding us is what he would remind us in Philippians chapter 1, that he who began a good work in us will see it to completion. So how do I know that God is working all things for our good and for his glory? How do I know that God is taking all of the bad and all of the good and he's conforming us to the image of Jesus? It's because Paul just said that exact same thing. He said, "You were justified just as if I had never sinned." So when we receive Christ, we are justified. As soon as we are justified, we begin this process of becoming like Jesus, and that's called sanctification. And so we are sanctified, this process, and what God does is he begins to use all these different situations, all these different things that we're learning, all the hard, all the good, all the bad, all the things in between, and he's using us to make us more like Jesus. But our hope isn't that justification just goes to sanctification. Our hope is in the fact that one day we will be glorified and we will be perfect with God forever. So you want to know what salvation is? Salvation is justification, sanctification, and glorification all together. And this is the hope that we have, is that one day God is going to make us so much like Jesus that we will spend eternity with him and we will praise him and we'll glorify him and we'll be with him for eternity. So I may not know why, but here's what I know about God. God has a promise, God has provision, and God has a purpose. I'll be really honest. I remember the night that Ella asked me, why do bad things always happen to me? And I remember that night because it created a tension within me. Because how do you explain or answer that question to a six-year-old? I didn't know what to say or do. Like, yeah, I knew she maybe needed to have a different perspective, but I really didn't know how to answer it. So it just created this tension within me for a few weeks. But then a few weeks after that, I went to a conference. And at this conference, one of our speakers, she just suggested that we do something. And she was talking about why and why we go through bad things and how do we respond, how do we help the next generation just to have some grips on reality and have a faith that lasts even in the midst of why. And she just encouraged us to do one thing, and that was to sit down and just begin to write out everything that we personally knew to be true about God. So I went home that day, and I created a note in my iPhone. And my note's entitled, I don't know why, but here's what I know about God. And can I just tell you what I've been doing for the last few years? I've just been writing down truths that I personally know to be true about God. It's changed the way I've read the Bible, because as I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, okay, God, like if you did it for Abraham, you can do it for me. And so I begin to write down all these different things that I personally know, like, God, you're my guide, you're my shepherd, you're leading me, you're walking with me. I've just been writing that for the last couple of years. And here's the reality. In the last few years, I've had moments where I've wondered why. And in those moments, I've gotten into this habit of pulling out my phone and pulling out my note app and just begin to read what I personally know to be true about God. And here's what's happened in those moments. It has reminded me of who my God is. In those moments, it helps me to have more hope when I'm experiencing this tension. Why? Because I know who my God is, and I'm getting into this habit of reminding myself of who he is. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you personally know to be true about God? How have you seen God show up in your life? I ask you those questions because I want to invite you to do what I've been doing for the last few years. And I want to invite you to start a note, whether it's on your phone, whether it's in a journal, no matter where, it's in your Bible, wherever it may be, I want to invite you to do what I have been doing. And that's simply reminding yourself of who your God is. So this week, I want you to do something. So if you got a cell phone, I want you to pull out your cell phone real quick. And as you're pulling it out, I want you to go to your Clocks app or whatever it's called on your Android. And I want to invite you to take two steps this week. The first one is this. Just right now, I want to invite you to set an alarm for 8:28, either a.m. or p.m. Romans 8:28, we know all things. God's working. And here's what I want you to do. For the next 5 days, when this alarm goes off, I just want you to pause for a second. And I want you to go to wherever you're keeping your record of what you know to be true about God. And I just want you to write one truth that you personally know to be true about God. And here's why I want us to do this. I promise you, we're all going to experience the tension of why. Maybe you're experiencing it right now. Maybe you're wondering, like, can I actually have hope in the midst of this tension? And the answer is yes, you can have more hope. More hope is available to you. So when you feel the tension of why, you start remembering who your God is. And you start telling the storm, and you start telling the difficult season, and you start telling the pain that this is how big my God is. This is what I know to be true about him. Now, will it take the tension away? No, unfortunately, it won't. But what it will do is it will give you a different perspective. You'll stop focusing on the tension and begin to focus your affection and your attention on Jesus. And my hope for you is that in the midst of all of that, you could experience more hope. And you can experience more hope. So I don't know why, but here's what I know to be true about God. Would you pray with me? Father, I just want to pray over my friends, God, just right now. Lord, I don't know what kind of tension they're experiencing, but Lord, what I hope for right now is that they would experience some more hope. Not a hope that the world has to offer, but a hope that only you can offer. God, I pray as we sing these next songs that we could just remind ourselves of who our God is, that we can set in the fact that you are still good, that you're still working, that you're still with us, that you're walking there, that you're close to us. And God, maybe, just maybe, some of us would hear that gentle whisper because they will feel your nearness. So God, we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we put our hope in a Savior.